Welcome to the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment with Donna Valentine and Steve Patterson.
Hey, guys.
Hey, producer Don McLean.
Hello.
Hump Day.
Oh, it is Hump Day.
You guys remember the camel commercial?
Yeah,
from Geico?
Yeah. Oh, that was a Geico commercial?
Pretty sure it was.
I thought it was like for food. I don't know why.
Oh, we don't remember the product. That's exactly the opposite
right.
of what they want.
I know. Steve's probably right. I don't fall for that stuff. Are you kidding? Hey, while you're looking that up.
Geico.
Oh, okay. All right. Good one, Steve.
Thanks.
You're exactly who they're probably talking to then.
Anyway,
Dawn, would you like to pose the question to Steve that you guys were talking about on your show this morning?
Well, there were several questions.
Well, ask them all.
Okay. She wants you to ask me the most salacious.
Okay,
I'm sure.
Do you know anything about this, Steve?
No, nothing.
Okay, well, we talked about the show Naked and Afraid.
Oh, Lord. My nightmare.
Okay, so...
Okay, there's that.
So then we turned it into, would you do the show Naked and Afraid?
No. Okay. Let me be super clear about my thoughts of my naked body.
Okay.
And maybe this will help answer other subsequent questions. Some people look at their naked body and they're like, oh, yeah, I am bringing it. This is great. Others of us just think, yeah, we can turn the lights down. That's fine.
That's fine.
Yep. So then that's how I feel with my wife.
Uh-huh.
Now,
okay.
Who am I on with? All a contestant right. from yeah. Jersey?
All right, so moving on to
one.
This. So okay. If we did Project Down and Dirty, Naked and Afraid.
Bye.
Didn't Steve used to work at My Talk?
Yeah,
would you, because we're out in the wilderness and we're trying to survive, would you snuggle nude?
Not even close.
Okay.
No.
Okay, see, I had the...
Bye. Steve's
exactly.
gone.
Donna awesome. Said, she, yes, with any staff member, she just wants to be touched.
I said, I long to be touched.
She longs to be touched. And I said only with women.
Oh, I'd snuggle with any dude. I don't care.
But then I said,
You're not
would,
snuggling with me.
I would Except snuggle Steve. Possibly with men if I was dying and I was so cold, but I have to be the big spoon.
Yes, okay. Yes, because you don't
important.
Want anyone poking around back
yes.
there.
Yes.
Exactly.
All
right.
And then
there's
the
another
question,
one.
Okay. The question was posed. Actually, Elizabeth first. Came into this. If we were in a survival situation and we're all the staff, who would we eat first?
Now, this is an interesting question.
I thought Bradley would be good because he would taste the best because he works out
a
lot.
I know. I think he'd be too tough.
Too tough? Okay.
Yeah. He's like a chicken breast. I need a chicken thigh.
Okay. And then Elizabeth said, we need to eat the person that is
least useful.
Least useful and the most annoying. And she picked you.
She is going to get it.
And then I started texting Jason. I'm like, please eat me.
Donna just doesn't want to be in this situation anymore. So she said, eat me first.
Oh, that Elizabeth Reese. She's a real turncoat, you know? You don't know who you can trust. Screw it. I'm back in. I'm in Naked and Afraid now. Just because now I want to plot against these people.
Yeah.
No, I would be so out.
Yeah,
I would be
too.
So out. Let me be clear. I don't want to see any of you naked. I don't want to see any parts of you without full HR compliant clothing. How about clothed and comfortable instead of naked and afraid?
Right.
Yeah, clothed and confident, feeling good.
Dawn.
Yeah.
Now, would you be okay snuggling with a man if he was gay?
Yes.
You'd be more likely to snuggle
with
like Bradley or Jason.
Yeah.
Than Kenny.
That's fair,
Than Kenny or Steve.
Yeah. That's so funny. Okay, good one.
But I still want to be the big spoon.
Funny, the only person I then just imagined, that's for sure. The only person that I imagined cuddling with, like, could I cuddle with this person, was Kenny. Because it feels like he knows already. I'm sure he's done some sort of a nature trek at some point.
Yeah.
I could see him beating his back with those handful of branches, you know?
Yeah.
I could just see him really embracing it. So
yes.
He'd feels have, like war would keep paint. Me safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope so.
I would be completely useless. I wouldn't hunt. I wouldn't fish.
No, see, I think I would do pretty well.
I can't make a fire. Yeah, you'd probably win the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, next week, I think it's happening next week. I think I was supposed to sleep outside.
Yeah.
But they canceled it because it was too cold. I wanted to do it anyway. And they wouldn't. I was overruled.
Yeah, now you're talking about...
It's going to be like 35.
Danger zone.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been. They have space heaters in my tent.
Steve, it's you're doing your outdoor broadcast on the 12th.
Yes.
Of this month.
Yes. And so it'll be like a Thursday. It's a Thursday night into a Friday morning. Mm. And the lead up is 50 degree weather. And I was like, well, let's just do this. And I think I go out there on a day when it's rainy or maybe a little bit of snow and a high of 37 and a low of 20 something. But wouldn't it have been so fun if it had been high of 18, low of 0, overnight low of negative 2? I would have been fine. Guys, they had 3 space heaters in there last time. 3.
Yeah, I think they have to cover their tracks.
Yeah, and then they always have to account for viewers emailing in. Oh,
yep.
I thought you told us that we shouldn't be outside right now.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, follow-up to Golden Globes, it looks like.
If you didn't watch it, like, I don't think any of us sat out on Sunday night and watched the whole thing.
No, I did.
Oh,
you
Dawn.
Did?
Oh, Dawn did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dawn.
And she liked it.
Dawn, get
Sorry,
this.
Sorry, Dawn, I don't mean to talk about no, you like
true.
You're not here.
No,
it's true.
Here is the, here's what happened. Imagine in 2020, before the pandemic, you were watching the Golden Globes in a room with 3 people. It was you and 2 of your friends. This year, 2 of those friends didn't show up to the party.
God.
Their viewership dropped by some 66%.
Whoa.
Year over year. It is a 13-year low. The last time it was this low was in 2008 when there was a writer's strike and they aired a press conference instead.
Oh, my gosh.
But it really, really tanked. Only 6.9 million viewers. Last year, they had 18.4 million. So it is a huge drop. But it's to be expected because there wasn't a traditional release schedule. Nothing was in theaters this year. Everything was weird. And so just like I thought, what do you just come out with a movie and then you get nominated? I'm surprised Smurfs wasn't nominated. There were so few things that felt like they had typical theatrical releases or at-home releases that were big and splashy. And so apparently a lot of people felt that way and they didn't tune in. It was a huge drop in ratings. And, you know, NBC signed a $60 million a year deal with the Hollywood Foreign Press back in 2018 for exclusive rights to the broadcast for 8 years, which takes them through 2026. Maybe next year is going to be huge for them. Will it rebound next year? Will it look normal next year? Or will they be really uncomfortable thinking, why did we spend all that money? Because maybe award show appetites, especially for the target demographic of 18 to 49-year-olds, maybe it's changing. Sometimes all you need is 1 year without something, and then you're like, oh, I didn't need that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I watched it because of our jobs. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
If I didn't have this job, I wouldn't have watched it.
Yep. And
yep.
That seems like it makes good sense for how the average American would have approached it as well. So tough year for the Golden Globes, but great job, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. They did
yes.
great.
Yes.
They did
so great. Good. I love
I liked the fact that we didn't have to wait for people to walk up.
Yeah, good
that
point.
That was like, it was more efficient, it felt like.
That's a great point. Did they have like the shut up music or just a timer?
They did. They didn't at first, but then they started doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but then Jason Sudeikis won and they were like, all right, let's figure out some wrap up. I heard Don Cheadle jumped in or gave him a hard time somehow.
Yeah, he
Jason
did.
Jason Sudeikis when he was going on.
Yeah, he was like, come on. He made a motion like, come on, get
wrap
with
it, up.
It, wrap it up.
And then Jason Sudeikis said something like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Don Cheadle says I need to wrap it up.
That's embarrassing. Anyway, hey, our Facebook question today, this is a thread on Reddit right now. What's your favorite old person candy?
Good.
Yeah. So think on that. Go to our Facebook page. You can also call us later if you feel like it at 11:45. We'll do that. We'll remind you, okay? When we come back, though, Steve's got some fun facts.
I'm going to tell you something about the surface of the moon. You ever look up at the moon and think, how big is that? Like Earth standards. Give me something to relate this to. How big is the moon? I have an answer for us, everybody. Get excited. Yay. That and other dumb things you don't need to know, but you'll be happy that you did when we return on Donna and Steve on My Talk. Hey, Donna.
Hey, Steve, when did you get here?
I've been here the whole time. Hey, I want to talk with you about my underwear again, if I may.
Oh, God.
All right, listen, you know that I love my chill boys. They are bamboo boxer briefs. But here is what's happening. I've loved them from the first time that I put them on my legs. Instantly felt the difference. So cool and so comfortable. So now, anytime that I have to put on some stupid underwear that aren't chill boys, I feel like an idiot.
You should. What? You should. They are a local company offering great men's underwear. But can I point out, Steve, that ladies, if you're tired of thongs making you feel like you've got a constant wedgie, might I suggest you get yourself a pair of soft bamboo boxers from Chill Boys?
I've always said that I would never wear a thong, but I'll tell you this. If my buddies at Chill Boys made a thong, I'd try it on. I'm just saying, I would try it on. Hey, if you want more information, you can go to chillboys.com.
Chill Boys, comfort where it counts. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. Thank you for listening.
Have either of you ever seen the moon?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So it's the white ball, for anyone who's just tuning in, it's the white ball, it comes out at night, and it's always there. It just looks a little different from time to time. We're on the same page before I go into this stat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay, good. Asia has a larger surface area than the moon. Have you ever looked up and thought, how big is it really? If we brought it down here on Earth, how big would it be? Asia is 17.2 million square miles. The moon is 14.6 million square miles. 2.5 million square miles smaller. I don't exactly know how what a square mile is, but I think it's important to realize that if you, it's like Asia in the sky in a
diamonds.
Ball. There it is. Oh, nice. Come on, man. I guess
you guys.
It looks pretty big from down here. But then I see people on the surface of the moon. Go with me, Don. I know you're not sure if we landed on the moon yet or not, but I see those video images and I think, if you just kept running, could you get to the other side of it and just fall off? Like if you ran for four minutes?
You don't fall off.
Or, you know, start going down the other side of it? When you see video of the moon, doesn't it look small when they're on there, when Neil Armstrong is walking around? Don't you think it looks small? Okay, see, that's what we got to. It looks small up there.
Gosh.
It doesn't look like it's just moon for miles and miles and miles.
So it's smaller than Asia. Sorry, just looking at what Asia
is. Asia's big. I mean, Asia's big.
China's the most part of it. We've got India in there.
Yeah, see, these are big places.
So are you saying that the moon looks bigger in Asia?
No. Ooh, no. So, no. I'm saying that Asia is 2.5 million square miles bigger than the moon.
Gotcha.
But I'm then separate thing and aside saying, when we saw Neil Armstrong on the moon, didn't it look like just a ball? Like it didn't look like...
Yes, it doesn't look like Earth. Like what you're saying is we can't... Yes.
How if you tore down every house and you were standing in the middle of your street and every house is gone, you would not see, you would just see land, you know, like into the horizon where it felt like when they were on the moon, it was like, maybe it's because it's surrounded by black. I don't know.
That could be. I see what you're saying. Like, it actually looked like it had a beginning, a middle, an end, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, if you were to look...
Which Don says is...
Yeah. There's Stanley Kubrick in the corner filming it.
Did you see, like, an exit sign or something in the background?
There's that wind machine for the flag.
Geez.
So, I wish that I could see a globe and see how big the moon is on it. I actually just Googled that, and I got some scantily clad women. For some reason. I'm like, what? All I did was type in map of the world with the moon on it, and there were other globes.
Now, as though I'm Yoda when I Google search, I typed in moon how big.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, I did that, and it gave me, I'm going to send you this picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moon, how big?
Moon, how big? I don't know why I would have searched it like such a Neanderthal, but I did.
Yeah.
And it happened. Let's see. Okay. I'm gonna put it right down. Here'sy weirzy. Everybody, mm-hmm. if you're at your computer, just Google search like I did. Moon how big?
Moon.
And this at least gives
big.
You a picture of Earth next to the moon.
Oh,
I don't know if that's helpful or not.
It is. It totally is. Yeah.
Okay.
See, okay.
27% the size of Earth.
So it's kind of like the top part of Africa. Yeah, to trigger them.
Sorry. You know I can't stop. See, here I have to turn down a dial in order to turn my mic off. Mm-hmm. In the studios, there's a mute button, like a cough button. You can just hold it down, and then I, in the past, could just go like, and then unmute
it, and nobody would hear you.
People still think I'm normal. This yeah. broadcasting from home has really shown my warts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Here's something about, let's stay on geography for a second.
Okay.
This is really fascinating. The geographical center of North America, the continent, is mm-hmm. a town in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's the center
what?
Of North America. That town.
I did not know this.
And this is just a coincidence, so they say. That town is called Center.
Oh, no way. That's not a coincidence. No
way. That's what they told me.
No, I don't believe that that's a coincidence. I think it is because it is the center. That is way too much of a coincidence.
Listen, every morning at 6 a.m., the people from the Things That Make You Go Huh Foundation call me.
Oh, dude.
And they say, I hope you have a pen and paper handy, because they just tell them to me. And when I say, but wait, they just start reading the next one.
Oh, my
gosh. No follow-up questions. I know.
Okay, Steve.
This is fun. The official state vegetable of Oklahoma is the watermelon.
What? So dumb.
The senator who proposed it says it comes from the cucumber family, mm-hmm. so it should be classified as a veggie, not a fruit. The National Watermelon Promotion Board, what the hell, says it's both. Let me read that last sentence again.
It's because it's sweet.
The National Watermelon Promotion Board.
Well, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to promote that fruit.
Remember when Seinfeld talked about the seedless watermelon?
Nope.
Oh, said, what do you think they have the melons humping now? You know, how are they doing without seeds? How are they? How do you get a seedless watermelon, Donna?
I don't know.
No, there are seeds in there. They're just little white ones that aren't as big.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. I've never had seedless watermelon.
No.
What am I doing? I'm eating seeds.
Don't do it.
Well, I'm spitting them out, but I'm not.
It's a lot of work.
All right, you guys, Dr. Oz to the rescue. Did you hear this story?
No.
Yes,
he saves a man's life at Newark Airport.
Oh.
I think it was Newark. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
It's like a promotion.
Right. Oh, are you hanging out with Dawn?
No.
It's on a set. I'll tell you all about it when we come right back. You know, these days, it can feel like we're stuck in our houses and looking for a safe escape. Well, good news. The Y is open and safer than ever. They have a helpful tool on their site that tells you how busy each location is, and they do extensive cleaning throughout the day. Plus, you can take virtual Y fitness classes wherever you like. And you can earn a free month if you join by March 18th. Go to ymcanorth.org. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. How about that Dr. Oz, man?
Just when you think he's a fake doctor.
Right.
He goes and saves somebody's life.
Exactly. I saw him on Good Morning America this morning talking about it. And apparently, he was at Newark Airport with his family. I think they were on their way to Florida.
Florida Orange.
And he was at the carousel, you know, waiting for his luggage.
Baggage claim, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Baggage claim.
The
yep.
carousel.
Yep. Isn't it a carousel?
I imagine horses up and down.
Oh, don't you call that like the baggage carousel? Yeah. Steve.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys are...
Judgy McJudgerson.
Turning a little old. Let's continue. Okay thank you. So he's at the baggage claim
carousel. And he hears his daughter say, "Daddy! Daddy!" And he recognized that as a call for help. Went over. A man had fallen. I think he was a 60-year-old man. Fell flat on his face.
No.
Blood pooling around his head.
Oh.
He flips him over. The guy is... not a good color. He said he was purple like an eggplant.
And
was
like, no.
He ended up having a lot of help from Port Authority police and ended up doing CPR. And he was foaming at the mouth, so he needed to get air to him. So there's a kit at the airport that has all this stuff in it.
Oh.
Unless he had it with him and was able to blow air into him. The guy is alive. He's amazing. Recovering at the hospital. He's Dr. Oz has been in touch with his wife. It is just amazing. And interestingly, it is CPR month, National CPR month. Oh. And he went on to say when he was doing this interview with Good Morning America, he said, you know, this is something that you can learn in just a few minutes. And he reminded us that if you ever need it, it's probably going to be somebody that you care about.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that you know, because that's who we hang out with, right? Hmm. And he said, you know, it's great, the compression, the whatchamacallit, what do you call the thing that shocks?
Defibrillator.
Yes.
Defibrillator.
Yeah, that thing. So, you know, you see those at the airports, and when you take it out, it tells you, it gives you the instructions as to what to do. And you don't have to be afraid of getting shocked because, you know, the body like jumps when you're trying to shock it back to life, because it won't do that if there are people, other people too close to the body. And he's like, you can do this yourself. You take those little sticky things, you put them on the body. It's a really, really good reminder that this is an important thing to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm literally going to do this today. I'm going to go online and see what I can learn.
How to use the defibrillator.
And how to pronounce it.
Is it defib or frib? Defibrillator?
Defibrillator.
Brew.
Defibrillator. Defibrillator.
Brill. Not
yeah,
even
we
brew.
Got there.
Defibrillator.
Defibrillator.
All right, let me use it in a sentence. Hey, could you pick up 2 defibrillators at the store?
That rolled off the tongue. That was really good.
Felt supernatural.
Oh, God, so
remember, I got the. I got the D choker, a 3-pack of the D choker. Last week, and this is a device that you can purchase, and they say it's sort of a upstart company. They've saved 150 lives at this point, and it's a device that you can use on yourself if you choke while you are alone, or if you have little ones, especially, or the elderly, who the Heimlich maneuver can be difficult to successfully perform on.
Sure.
Without doing real damage to them. Now, I get it. Like, a broken rib is better than being dead. I understand that. But this is a device that you put over. Imagine if you were getting oxygen or how they administer anesthesia in an operating room. That cushiony mask that goes over your nose and mouth. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Clear plastic. It's got that cushion. You put that there. And then that is connected to a tube, a cylindrical little tube, maybe about 10 inches long. On the back end of that tube is a pump, like if you were pumping air into a volleyball.
Okay.
So you're, and each time that you pull out, you pull the lever out, it sucks air out of you like a vacuum. So you create a seal around your mouth. And then you pull this out, and it's supposed to repeatedly be really powerful reverse pressure to dislodge the thing that is in your throat. So if you're home alone, your only other chance is to like throw your body over a dining room chair, like a hard chair. But this has saved lives. They're about $50 a pop. We were going to get one, then we were going to get 2. We're like, you know what? Let's get 3. We have a toddler-sized one. We have a youth-sized one and an adult-sized one. And we just thought, if at the end of this, we say we spent $150 and never had to use them. It'll be the best $150 we ever
spent. For sure. Where did you hear about this? I've never even heard about this device.
I never had either. I had saw it randomly on Instagram at some point, and I wasn't looking up choking or anything. I don't know. It just randomly came to me, but it's called the D-Choker. An anti-choking device. You can buy one as low as $47 at dechoker, D-E-C-H-O-K-E-R, dechoker.com.
Wow.
Yeah. It's supposed to be really easy. And I tried it, too. It sucked my tongue right into the tube.
Really?
Like, I was like, am I getting pressure? And then it was like, yes.
Wow. Okay. Good to know.
Over 16 million children are taken to the emergency room every year due to choking incidents.
Wow.
I don't know how to spell choke. I've just realized.
Really?
No.
Are you trying? What are you trying? Chalk?
D-E. And then let's do a C-H-O-K-E-R. Yeah, you don't spell choke much. How were you?
I put an A in there.
Oh, no way. Like
C-H-O-A-K-E-R?
C-H-O-A-K-E-R.
Oh, okay.
And then I did D-choker and I didn't get anything.
We'll figure that out later. This is the whole thing. I need to watch the instructions on how to use it.
Yeah, dchoker.com.
Dawn's been going to all, you know, like booby sites and stuff. Everything that she...
Booby sites?
Or was it booty sites when you were looking up the moon earlier?
Oh, that was on the work computer. Don't worry.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying she goes to like look up what's the size of the moon to Earth.
Yeah. The map of the Earth with the moon.
Then there's a bunch of naughty nurses that show up.
Right. I'm like, okay. Well, nobody was nude. They were just in lingerie.
Or you can do what Stevie Boy does, which is just search how big moon. Came right up.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So another story I wanted to tell you about, now that we covered Dr. Oz, was Bill Burr was talking about Gina Carano, who was a co-host on The Mandalorian, and said that she is a sweetheart when he worked with her. And he was on someone's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he's not a fan of cancel culture. And he's made that known before, if you saw him on Saturday Night Live in his monologue last October. But he was saying, you know, I'm on that show, so I have to watch what I say. But he said, you know, the way it is right now is people are waiting and just laying in the weeds. He said, you know, people are like, let's show that he's human and he's made a mistake in his past and let's take his dream away. So he's kind of making that point and saying that he's not talking about the things like sexual assault and all of that kind of stuff. He says, but it's just like, somebody makes an ignorant comparison and then your entire dream is taken away.
So there was a guest, I don't know who Joe DeRosa is, but he was another guest on this podcast. And he added, I get what she was trying to say. Obviously, any comparison to anything with the Holocaust is a shoddy comparison. It's a dumb thing to do. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. And this guy went, again, I don't know who this guy is, but then he went on to say, however, how is it any different from all the people on the left when Trump got elected and they said he's like Hitler? How is that any different is what he added to that conversation. Mm. And, you know, when I was looking up, when we were talking about the Gina Carano story a couple weeks ago, and I was looking up things, I went on this, there were articles from the Holocaust Museum and things like that, and they were citing, you know, people on all sides of the ideological and political spectrums who have, when they felt it convenient to make a point extra poignant, have called on similarities to the Holocaust or to Hitler.
Yeah.
And the Holocaust Museum was saying, as much as you think that might be aiding your argument, it is not. And so, you know, it was an educational read that it was offering. But I get it. Like, I understand, just like that guy says, you can't defend that comparison is always going to be bad.
Yes.
And so you think it's going to support you and it's not going to. That being said, do I think that that should have resulted in firing? I can't quite say that. I understand also what Bill Burr's saying, that it's, and if everybody felt good having every private conversation that you've ever had taken to Twitter and to cancel culture and saying, cool, maybe you'll make it, maybe you won't. But it feels like, here's what I'm thinking. I think that it's getting to be a tricky time to process things on a microphone or on video, because if you, like, even in follow-up conversations to whatever the offense is, if you take a position that seems ignorant, it may in fact be ignorant, it may be uneducated, mm-hmm. and you need room to grow, even if you voice that in the midst of a conversation, let's just call it generically Twitter. Twitter doesn't care. They don't care about the conversation. They don't care of what you needed to learn or anything like that. It's, you said something I didn't like, go away. Yeah. And I don't like that. I just don't like it. And I think it makes it a really scary place to have conversations that need to be had about important topics. Sure. And so if you don't like what she said, then maybe let's have like an ongoing dialogue about that, or pick any other topic, any mm-hmm. other hot topic issue. If the answer is, if you say something that they don't like, you're gone. Guess what's gone? Guess what's gone? Honest, open conversation where sure. we can actually hear from each
That's
other and learn
point.
From each other. I don't like it.
Really
I just don't
point.
Like it.
Yeah.
It makes it very, very frightening. And if you, even if you're just not around the bend yet on understanding, then you better go to school and get fully educated on it before you open your mouth about it. Because otherwise, you're not being fully there yet will just be cast upon you as whatever it is, hatred or whatever, fill in the adjective. I think it's a really tricky time. So I understand where they're coming from in
right.
terms of like, what's the atmosphere that we're trying to go for?
Right.
What sort of conversations are we looking to have? Say everything exactly as I see it as being right, or else? Because that's not a healthy,
right.
sustainable way to have good conversations
right.
where people actually learn from each other. People just get scared and then they'll stop saying anything.
That's why I cannot post on social media mm-hmm. or I can't believe that people post the things that they post. I'm like, what do people get out of this? I
yes.
don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
It's just a lot of stress and creating anger. And I just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not into that either. I usually post
like fun
really
stuff.
Weird things that are like things we talk about on the show. Like,
yeah.
here's a monkey opening a package.
Oh, I mean, my yes. Twitter is weird.
That's
but
how I am too, John. I
yeah.
don't say anything.
Or just
about
like, I don't like double stuffed Oreos. That's it.
Yeah. And then people are like, pitchforks coming
yeah.
after you.
Mm-hmm.
She's anti-Oreo.
No, just double stuffed.
That's dumb. No, okay. Oh, so what are you, body shaming the Oreo now?
Oreo is a sucky cookie. What? Okay,
is,
we got to go. When we come back, if you see something, say something. There were two guys drinking beers on an inflatable mattress, and they ended up being taken out to sea.
Oh, my.
Hey,
you
buddy,
that.
You want to hit this mattress with me?
Here, hold my beer.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that when we come right back on My Talk.
Here will be recorded, saved, and uploaded so that anybody in the world can listen to it at any time, including you. Find My Talk shows as podcasts at mytalk1071.com or on the My Talk app.
You're gonna be the lonely one. Oh, do you believe in life after love? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough, no. Do you believe in life after love?
Steve, My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment, and dumb people, too.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
Time for If You See Something, Say Something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
Here's a story for you. So, two guys drinking some beers at a beach house.
Nice.
Jackson Perry and Noah Palmer. They're Australian. Rise up lights.
Rise up lights.
And they were chilling on Saturday when they decided to hit the high seas aboard a blow-up bed with some brewskis to keep them company.
Brewskis.
And they were just going to, you know, drift around on the water for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it began to unravel after they found themselves in this like windy atmosphere. They had no ability to navigate the bed or the mattress, whatever.
They didn't have paddles.
They didn't have paddles. Oh boy. So they had to be rescued. Mm. Yeah, they were running out of beer, first of all, so they started to panic.
Mike, do you see any land, Mike?
One of the guys eventually started diving into the water at regular intervals to do what he could do to reinflate their less than seaworthy watercraft.
What? So he's under the water blowing into the air mattress?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I think there was a jet ski involved. Oh. Anyway, I think we have one of the guys talking about what happened. I don't know if we could understand him, but we'll try.
Okay, here we go.
We had this mattress out the front of Noah's house. It was a bit deflated, so we decided to pump it up and like go down. Just had like dripped on the water, probably 50 meters off from shore. We got a bit too far out, and the wind kept picking up, and yeah, we got sent out to sea.
As long as we had enough beers to keep us going, we were all right. Yeah. As soon as the beers got a little bit low, then we're like, oh, we should try head back in.
The mattress had like three pinholes in it, so Noah's like jumping off in the water every 10, 15 minutes, keep blowing the mattress back up.
Oh my God. And did you understand anything
he
said?
No, no, I didn't get it. Do we have it in English or no?
I'm not sure.
What's the lady's show this mattress, mate?
The translator has a day off.
With beer, mate, and maybe we just do beer bones, mate, and maybe see your crop, mate.
That's good, Steve.
I think, you know what, who was the guy? Who was the star of Avatar? British guy, Sam Worthington. Not British, he's Australian. And so when I was interviewing him at the premiere of Avatar, and I was trying to do an Australian accent, he said, no, you're opening your mouth too much. You said you just need to, you keep your mouth closed. You know, and then he was just mumbling,
that's
essentially.
Good.
And he said that people keep their mouths closed there because there are big flies in Australia.
Ew,
that's what he said.
Come on.
That's what he said. No, seriously.
Oh, that's got to be a lie.
I don't
know. Oh, that's funny.
I love, this is all over the place, by the way, this story. But I love that one is, it's on a website called freebeerandhotwings.com. And it says two idiots in Australia got carried out to sea on an inflatable mattress.
A couple of miles?
Yeah. He said 50 meters, I think. I think I understood that part. And it says that they only called for help once they started running out of beer.
So glad they had a cell phone.
Right? I didn't even think of that. Yeah, so anyway. Steve, what is audible?
The Australian bush fly is a real problem in Australia. They don't put that on their Chamber of Commerce brochure. Audible, Donna, is an app on your phone, and it's an opportunity for you to listen to audiobooks through the app.
Oh, okay.
It's an extension of Amazon. Links up with your Amazon account.
I see.
And I have been... Here's what happened. I realized that I restarted Audible months ago, forgot about it. It's $15 a month.
Nope.
$15 a month. Now you get a book with that $15. You know, they call it a credit, but you pay for the credit, but still they make you feel like you're getting something because you get this credit. That credit can be turned into any book that you want on Audible. So I realized I had four or five credits and was like, oh, crap, I got to start getting some of these books. So listened to a couple of books. I was listening to a book called Atomic Habits. Finished that. It was good. Listening to a book on like the behind the scenes of, it's called The Wonders of Disney, all these little factoids about life at the park and things you can look for that you wouldn't normally notice that would enrich your experience at the park.
Ask him the time. He'll give you the history of the clock.
So with that, now having listened to these two books back to back, I have noticed two things two times.
What?
And I love a little continuity error or an editing error in a movie or a TV show.
Sure.
Two separate times, I have heard them do a take two of a line right after.
No way! That's
so,
cool.
And here's what it would read. It would read something like, it's a tradition that has been linked to one specific fly. It's a tradition that has been linked to one specific fly.
Yes.
It's two a separate times.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I rewound it yesterday just to listen to it again. I thought, oh, and I was like, I think I like take two better.
Hey, can I give you a tip on a book?
You don't have to.
Chip Gaines. Listen to what he's doing with his upcoming memoir, No Pain, No Gains. Here, right? See what he did there?
No,
listen to what he's doing. This is so great. He is hiding $1,000 checks inside 10 copies of his forthcoming memoir, which is out on March 16th. So
I got a golden ticket.
Yes, exactly. So you, if you're lucky enough to pre-order at the right exact second, you will find a $1,000 check.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow, thanks, that Chip.
Thanks, Chip.
How many? 10?
10.
10 $1,000 copies.
Cool.
Okay, we'll be right back. Bye, Dawn.
Bye. Bye, Dawn.